Hello, podcast listeners. Welcome to another episode of Riesling and Raven. Today's episode is a very special episode as it is my birthday today. I am turning 26, or in drag years, I'll be turning 8. 8 years of this bullshit. But we're going to be reviewing episode 6 of RuPaul's Drag Race. And once again, I swore it was like 7 or 8. And it's only 6. And I keep forgetting, oh yeah, this is only the third girl who's going home. Because so much has happened. Honestly, this season is very, like, packed and full of stuff. Drama. Lip syncs. Challenges. Relationships growing. And it's a lot. And we're on episode 6, but only 3 girls have gone. So, it's definitely a fully packed... It's more jam-packed than a normal season is, despite COVID having happened, or happening, and them being in the middle of a pandemic when they filmed this. So, it's definitely a full season. But today, we are going to go through episode 6. And just remembering from episode 5, the last episode we said goodbye to Joey J, who lip-synced against, who did Joey lip-sync against? LaLaurie. Yeah, the bag ball. Yeah, LaLaurie and Joey lip-synced, LaLaurie stayed, and Joey went home, and Gottmik won. And on this episode, the Maxi Challenge is a disco-themed history dance challenge. So first off, we're gonna start with the girls coming back into the workroom after the elimination, and once again, Candy and Tamisha have a bit of a fight again. After all, if you've seen the Untucked episode, Candy and Tamisha go at it. Oh, do they go at it? And honestly, I can't even recall what prompted it or why it started. I think it was Candy asked the Tamisha was commenting about how she's been in the gig for so many years, and some of the girls, she may not like you, but she has to commend that the talent is amazing. Which, honestly, is kind... And obviously, the only thing Candy heard in that statement was, I may not like some of you girls. Which, honestly, it's like, okay, girl, you're picking and choosing what you're listening to. She basically commented that the girls who have been doing it for not so long are talented. So you decided to ignore the positive and go right to the negative. So after the girls come back into the room, Candy and Tamisha kind of hash it out a bit. And so Tamisha was basically just being completely honest and saying exactly what she thought, and Tamisha is one of those queens where if she feels some way, she's gonna say it. She's not gonna hide it. She's not gonna sugarcoat it for you. She's just gonna say it as is, right to the point. And I guess Candy didn't like that, despite Candy asking, if you don't like me, don't act shady around me, just tell it to my face. And Tamisha's like, I just did, right now. And Candy did not want to hear that. So, lesson number one, don't ask a question you don't want to hear the answer to. You don't want to hear the honest answer to. And that is also it kind of reminds me of a post that I saw the other day that is actually really good for relationships. When somebody's going through something and asks a question, the other person comes back with, do you want a friend or do you want honesty? Because I can tell you what you want to hear, or I can tell you the truth from an outsider perspective. And I think that is the best thing to say to avoid a fight right there. It's like, Okay, I know you're feeling this way, but what do you want to hear? Do you want me to tell you what you want to hear, and do you want me to calm you down, or do you want me to tell you honestly and give you the facts and basically give you the truth? Like, do you want to hear the truth, or do you want to hear what you want to hear? And I think that would save so many fights. But yeah, so Candy's basically still in the mind frame that the groups are still separated and that group A is still better than group B, and she isn't seeing group B as any competition whatsoever, which honestly, so far up to this episode, all the three queens who have gone have been all group B queens, and I don't know if that's a setup or if it is what it is. But yeah, Candy is still in this mind frame that they're separated and that it's group A versus group B when they're all together now. There's no competition other than individual competition now. Like, it's not group A versus group B. It is person A versus person B versus person C and henceforth. So like, I don't see why she's still seeing it as group versus group, but but Tamisha, I want this on a t-shirt. If somebody can make this on a t-shirt for me, I would love you forever. I want a black shirt that says, I said, or no. Tamisha says, what I said is what I said. What I said is what I said on a shirt. And I just want, it's like, I want that on a shirt. It's like, I don't know what you're saying. It's like, what I said is what I said. I love that. I just love it. I just want that. So yeah, there's still some beef between Candy and Tamisha, but later on, Candy, I guess, does kind of explain that she went about it the wrong way, and she didn't want the girls to see her that way, and she's trying to work on herself, and she apologized that that's how she reacted, and she doesn't want the girls to see her like that. After years of trying to work on herself and fix stuff, which I appreciate. So this episode, our guest judge is Lonnie Love, and the mini challenge when we come in is a wallpaper outfit challenge where the girls have to make an outfit in partners and one group of three, and they have to stand in front of a background that is the same wallpaper as what they're wearing. And the idea is just like, hey, make an outfit that you will stand out from the background that is also made from your materials. So whoever is in partners or the group of three for the mini challenge is going to be the same for the maxi challenge. And the groups are Ellie and Tamisha, Gottmik, Candy, and Tina, Utica and Olivia, LaLaurie and Simone, and Denali and Rosé. Those are the groups. And for the mini challenge, Elliot and Tamisha win with a pink and I think it was orange or yellow neon leopard wallpaper, and they make a Carole Baskin reference, and it's Tamisha was like, this is allegedly what Miss Baskin wore when she had picked up her husband or slashed her husband. Allegedly. And I love that because I'm just like, yes, outside references outside of Drag Race. And so Tamisha and Elliot won. And so now all the groups get their theme for the maxi challenge, which is disco themed. So each sub theme of disco, Elliot and Tamisha get disco and sex, Candy, Gottmik, and Tina get the birth of disco, Utica and Olivia get Studio 54, LaLaurie and Simone get disco sucks, and Denali and Rosé get disco fashion. So that's the groups, those are the mini concepts. They're all getting their choreo and their zhuzh. So they're all separate, they're all working together, and Denali and Rosé are very confident at this point. They are both dancers, and they are both very much confident in what they're gonna serve and learning choreo and such. And then when Rue brings the girls to the table to discuss one-on-one or one-on-two, Rosé basically explains that she needs to let her guard down, and Rue agrees completely. For people to like Rosé and whatnot, they need to see honesty and vulnerability, because those two things are what viewers basically fall in love with in a TV personality, and especially with a contestant on a competition show. After Denali and Rosé, we get Simone and Lala Ree, Disco Sex. I didn't really make any notes about this. These are all just like the two-on-ones with Rue and the discussion and whatnot. And basically, Rue explains some of the histories with Disco, and the Disco Sex thing was, he explained that there were fires and whatnot, burning records of disco music and whatnot, because people were seeing disco as something that was portraying homosexuality and sex and drugs, and it was it's the devil's work. And so that was basically the post-disco events that were happening that Simone and Lala Ree are going to be portraying with Disco Sex. So after Simone and Lala Ree, we have Candy, Gottmik, and Tina. I didn't get anything from this either, except when Rue asked Candy a question, and Candy was like, no, definitely. And Rue's like, what do you mean, no, definitely? And Candy's like, no, as in yes. And Rue loses it again. Like the Utica with Candy, Rue loses it. And me as a Canadian watching, I'm like, no, yeah, I totally get what that was. Because, like, is it just a Canadian thing where we say, no, yeah, and it means yes? Yeah, no means no. No, totally means yeah. It's like, is that just a Canadian thing that we say it, but Americans, I guess, don't understand it? Because Candy did it, and I guess living in New York, Candy gets some Canadianisms in there. But yeah, I totally understood what Candy said, so I don't know why Rue lost it. It's like, no, yeah, 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 no, yeah, no, yeah, yeah, that's no, yeah, totally. Yeah, like, no, yeah, totally means I understand, yeah. I don't understand why that was such a big thing, but it was funny. Okay, and then girls are chatting, getting into face for the, or no, not getting into face. Basically, they're about to go onto the main stage for the rehearsal, and Denali slightly kind of comes for Candy's group, I don't think she remembered that Candy was in the group three, because they were like, so if the girls who are in the bottom, is it going to be like two of them and whoever the pairs are, both of them have to lip sync? And then Denali's like, well, what if it's the three girls? Because that'd be fine with a three-way lip sync and it being a double elimination. And Candy's like, no, I'm in that group. And the one thing is, Candy's group doesn't dance. Tina, Gottmik, and Candy don't dance, or at least learn choreo. And I'm just like, she's not wrong. They don't dance. You can't tell. You can't make me. So we're on the stage learning the choreo. And so Gottmik learning the choreo. Gottmik cannot dance. Ish. I mean, she could pick up some of the choreo, but like, while I was watching, I was like, she kind of can't dance. Watching Lala Ree doing it, Lala Ree's just having fun. Lala Ree is having a ball. I enjoyed watching Lala Ree learning the choreo. Tamisha and Elliot got hula hoops for their number for sex. And Tamisha's just having a struggle with her hoop. But by the end, she was coming around and she was learning it and she was getting it. Denali and Rosé, killing it. There's really nothing else I can, like, they're dancers. There's really not much drama happening with them. Utica is so white, she can't dance, and in the edit they gave her, it was like there's a struggle bus. She was the struggle subway. She was not just a seat of 30 people. She was a full couple hundred struggling. Utica was not a struggle bus. She was a TTC subway. And for those who don't know what TTC is, it's the Toronto Transit Committee. And basically, Toronto subways are jam fucking packed before COVID hit. It was ridiculous. You did not want to be on a subway around like 3 or 4 in the afternoon. Good luck getting a seat on that. Good luck even getting in. And then after Utica, we see Olivia and Utica together. Olivia was basically getting it, showing it off, and really just giving it her 100, and Olivia was kind of showing her up. But Utica was just playing into her comedy that she can't dance and was just, I can't dance, and I'm not going to pretend like I can. And I was like, oh, Utica, you could have at least tried a little bit harder. But yeah. So then after that, girls are getting into face, and we hear that the group Tina, Gottmik, and Candy are the Mean Girls group. So we went from Heathers to the Mean Girls, and instead of the Dream Girls, it's the Mean Girls. And I was like, huh, okay. And then Olivia chimes in that with like dance experience and whatnot. And Olivia was talking about how she used to want to be in the color guard when she was younger, but she was also almost 300 pounds at one point. And I guess drag saved her, and drag like helped her get back into shape and health on a healthy diet and stuff, and really let her express herself, which was really great. I love hearing other girls' experiences with drag and how drag is more than just dressing up in women's clothes. It's self-expression to the point where you can be your 100% self and just like have a ball by being yourself. And drag is like I see drag like theater, and I say it's like an escape from the real world. Like, the real world's got a lot of shit going on. It's really not that great. Real life is not that great. So drag is like an escape from everything that's shitty in the world, and it's just for that little bit of time that you can just forget what's going on and just be in the present, be in the moment, and just have a ball. And that's basically how I see, like, dragon stuff. But yeah, so Olivia was, like, almost 300 pounds at one point, to the point where she almost couldn't go on to carnival rides because she was so heavy. And apparently carnival rides would have to shoo her away, which is absolutely shitty feeling. Fortunately, I haven't had to experience that. I am plus size, but I haven't been able to, like, be denied onto rides and such, which thankfully for me, I've been like on a water kick lately. So we got a soda stream. So we've just been drinking sparkling tap water for like months now, and it's been great. It's actually been really helpful getting my water in. But yeah, so she explains that you never know what people have gone through until you actually hear it from them and hear their explanation and whatnot. And people need to understand that with queens. People need to understand that, like, just because you're watching the show and you get to the end of the season and you're done doesn't mean that you know who these queens are. Just because you've seen them on TV doesn't mean you know who they are. Like, until they open up 100 to you directly, you may not know what real struggles people have been going through, and that's why you cannot judge anyone. You really can't. And I don't say that as in, like, a complaint that you can't judge anyone. I'm saying that as, don't judge people because you don't know what they've been through and where they've, like, what they've gone through to get to where they are now. Like, people could have gone through the shittiest thing in the world, and just because they, like, aren't like another queen doesn't mean that you can shit on them, and the shit that they've gone through is why they have guards up, and you can't judge them based off of that because you don't know the shit that they've gone through and the baggage they carry. And I just really want people who watch Drag Race who aren't in the drag community to understand that just because you watch the show doesn't mean that you are like, you're free to judge them willy-nilly and make sure that they know. Like, late, like, we get to the part where Candy explains what she's been through, and Candy, like, she comes from the hood where she has to fight for everything, and she's defensive against everything. And like, Tamisha grew up in the projects, and so with them going at it, both of their defensiveness and their, like, strong-headedness, it's like, people who are watching the show don't really know their first-hand experiences, and yet people feel like they are so free to judge and criticize people on what they do without knowing what their legitimate experiences are. And even when you know what their experiences are, unless you've lived through it, you still have no right to judge someone. And that is something me and my sister both agree on. And like, there's no reason to fight or to judge someone just because you watch them or you see what's going on. Like, until you experience firsthand what the fuck is going on in their life and what they've been through, there, you have basically no... It's not that there's no right, but there's no reason to judge someone without knowing who they are or what they've been through. And I just want to make sure that the drag community understands that, and that some of these queens have been through some shit. Other queens may not have been through the same shit, but everyone has their own shit that they've dealt with. Even you people who watch the show, who may have been through some shit, you wouldn't want someone to judge you based on your personality, but a personality that you've developed because of your shit and your baggage. And yet, they can still criticize and judge you, even though they don't know your struggles or they don't know firsthand what you've been through. It's the exact same principle. The queens are people. I don't think viewers understand that, like, drag queens on the show are real people too. So, like, if you wouldn't want someone coming for you for a personality that is just a buildup of years and years and years of baggage, don't do it to the queens. So people just need to fucking understand that these queens are real people, and just because you watch the show doesn't give you the liberty to judge them, especially if you are just a viewer and you're not a legitimate queen. Like, there are so many people who aren't queens who are like, oh, this is atrocious, or this, that, and the other thing. It's like, no, you're not a queen. No. Back the fuck up, Karen. Get out of here. Okay. After that rant, we are now going on to the runway. So, Rue comes in wearing a gorgeous fitted purple sequin gown with like a ruffle collar that goes up and over the shoulders and around to the back, and this sculptural hair loaf. I was feeling some mighty Eureka hair moments. Not as sculptural as Eureka's, but definitely a hair loaf moment. And so yeah, we say hi to Ross, we say hi to Carson, Michelle, and the guest judge, Lonnie Love. And on the runway, the category is Little Black Dress. And initial thought from Little Black Dress was, okay, Little Black Dress, typically it's a sleeveless dress or maybe a full sleeve, but it's normally kind of plain, toned down, and it typically stops at the knee area, above the knee, under the knee, knee length. And so I'm like, okay, how would you elevate a little black dress to a drag level? So that was basically where I was coming from when I started to critique these looks from a fashion standpoint and a drag, I'm having a stroke. from a drag standpoint. But before we get into the runway, we're going to have a quick moment from our sponsor. Hello, hello, hello. Just want to shout out to my Patreon patron, Robin Fisher. Thank you so much, girl, for your monthly contribution. You are why I can pay my phone bill. Thank you very much. And for anyone else who would like to see exclusive content, get very exclusive pre-mature access to some of my designs and collections, my fashion collections from Claw Couture under Clon Co. Feel free to look me up on patreon.com/ravensclaw. Pick one of the tiers. We have a $5, $10, and $20 tier. And yeah, just be part of the exclusive family and help me pay my bills, because every cent and every dollar count and matters. So thank you so much, Robin. Love you. Again, that is patreon.com/ravensclaw. Now let's get back to the podcast. Alrighty, on the runway, we begin with the birth of disco. And first thing is, I love Tina's outfit. I love the hair with it, and I love the angular sort of nod to Bob Mackie silhouette and shape. Great, love it. Feeling it, she's giving me great energy. Gottmik, kind of struggling with the choreo, and Candy was just kind of low energy for me. And I just was feeling most of the work was being carried by Tina. After Birth of Disco, we get Disco and Sex, and basically Elliot's feeling her fantasy, but Tamisha was kind of struggling and kind of looked dead in the face. And I think she was just too much in her head and thinking about the choreo and trying to do it perfectly. But then in doing that, you could see it on her face and such. But yeah, that was kind of a struggle. After Sex, we get Studio 54, and I was feeling Utica's outfit, and she was giving it her 100 and everything, and it was a fun routine. Her and Olivia were just having fun, and I loved it. After that, we get Fashion and Disco. Basically, a great performance. Just full on, they're great dancers. They're great performers. So that's basically it. After that, we got Disco Sucks. And basically, Lala Ri was doing the lip syncing. And I'm looking and I'm like, Simone's not lip syncing. Simone's not mouthing words. What is she doing? And I wasn't paying attention if there was like two people in the music track that were singing and it just wasn't Simone's part, but if it was just the same voice doing the whole thing, they should have had both of them lip syncing. So I was like, Simone, what are you doing? And then after that, I saw, Candy's outfit. I liked the one sleeve jumpsuit. Apparently later on, Michelle says she didn't like it, but I liked it. I liked it. I mean, I guess Michelle says it was too plain. I liked it, but I guess Michelle thinks it's too plain. And I guess to combat that, maybe it should have been made in like a red sequin or like large paillettes. But there were already like two or three other girls with kind of the short sequin big hair outfit, and they all kind of just like kind of blended together. So I like where Candy went with the outfit, but I guess it wasn't drag enough, so to make it draggy I would have just made it in full sequin or something. But I like the silhouette, I like the construction of it. And then at the end, there was great high energy, with the two lines and the dancing through the center aisle. That was great energy. I did like that. It was giving me real party vibes. And onto the runway, we are now, so onto the runway, and the concept is Little Black Dress. here we go. Get comfy while we get into this. So first up, or on my list, we're going to not go in order, but on my list, I have Utica coming out in a nod to Audrey Hepburn, and she was wearing an outfit that almost read witchy to me, like the long fingernails, the kind of metallic face kind of reminded me of like Rumpelstiltskin from Once Upon a Time. She had the gold arms and then the little black dress with a chunky red, it looked like 6-inch heel and a pointed toe. But at first looking at it, I got witch vibes rather than like Audrey Hepburn thing. Later she explains that the top of her hat is an earring hook and she's actually dressed as the earrings that she's wearing. And basically, unless you could see the earrings up close, you didn't realize that until she said it. And Michelle mentions that, with drag, you're far away. So if we can't see a tiny detail, that is actually the whole concept of the outfit. It almost is kind of, it falls flat. And I when she explained it and I realized what it was, then I had the aha moment. But again, I agree with Michelle, it's drag, and from far away, if we can't see the detail that you're inspired by, we don't know what is going on. But I do love that concept. I do love that she was dressing as her earrings. I thought that was smart, except for the fact that we didn't know that it was her earrings. So, after Utica, I have Olivia, and on my scale, Olivia was a meh. Honestly, she looked like I have seen girls look exactly like she did with the big hair and that type of dress going to a club. I've gone to, like, in St. Catharines here, we have a club called the Chili Pepper, which I guess was renamed, but it was the Chili Pepper. But yeah, so Chili Pepper, we have a club called L3, a club called Karma. Basically, I've seen that outfit on girls at all of these clubs, and to me that looked pedestrian, whereas later on the judges loved it, and I was so confused. I'm like, you think that's okay, but you think other outfits that are more over the top are not drag enough? I was just fucking producers. So after Olivia, I have Lala Ree. Again, it's a simple, plain black dress, slightly too short for her because she was pulling it at the bottom of the runway. And then I think it was a pearl trim at the top. I wasn't sure what it specifically was. It looked like pearls, could have been white diamond, could have been zirconian or just crystal. But on my list, or on my scale for that, that was also a meh for me. Tamisha, simple, clean, classy. She was basically just giving me like classy lady drag. But that's kind of what Tamisha's been giving the majority of this competition so far. It's just been like just very proper lady like drag rather than over the top exaggerated drag, which is drag. So that was a meh. Tina's I did enjoy. Tina came out in a white painter's suit with paint all over it, and then when she pulled it off, she was wearing her little black dress with painted signature rosé colors at the top and bottom, and I thought that was cute, but I think it was better than some of the other first few that I've described. I liked Tina's because there was still an element of drag and there was a level of camp that helped push it and push the concept in the outfit. I liked it. Now, after Tina, I have Candy, and Candy's I actually loved because it's a nod to Comme des Garçons, and it's a black dress painted on the Comme des Garçons silhouette. And she had a little purse that was the same dress, and it was all painted. Now, she had paint stripes on her neck, going up to her face and into the hair. I see where she was going, but I think it could have just been refined a bit more. Like, I think maybe if she were to do the paint strokes in conjunction with the shape of her face and her contouring, whereas I think she just put paint strokes just like different directions and stuff. But I feel like if she finessed the paint strokes a bit more, and I think the hair was a wet look kind of wig, but I just feel like if she just curated and strategically placed the paint strokes a bit more, like if she were to do a paint stroke contouring her boob, a paint stroke under the jawline to accentuate that, a paint stroke on the contour area going across and up, and a few paint strokes going around her forehead into the hairline to kind of almost blend the hairline but still keeping that paint stroke element, I feel like that would have elevated the paint strokes themselves a bit further. But yeah, I loved it because I love the nod to Come to Go song. After Candy, I have Denali, which I like this because it's Little Black Dress, but kind of funeral-esque and Black Widow-ish. I just did a Black Widow gown for Halloween, so I have looked at many Black Widow outfit inspirations and whatnot, and like Black Widow, the actual spider, not the Marvel character. But she was giving me full-on gothy widow funeral spiderweb realness, and I love a gothy look and concept. She did kind of go a bit kitschy with having literal spiderweb shapes under her arms, going into the dress itself. But I liked it. I liked it. And then she had the spider eyes on her forehead that were first covered up with like a veil or a hat or a pillbox hat. And then she took it off and you could see the eyes. I liked it. When I did the Black Widow look, I did my full face with the pincers and the eyes and the harsh angled contouring, kind of inspired by Maleficent's cheekbones and stuff, and went full humanoid Black Widow spider. But she did more of a bit of a casual version of the makeup, which with the time, of course you would. So, but yeah, I liked Denali's look. After Denali, I have Rosé, who was in a plain black dress, but there was gray tulle framing the whole thing around the outside, and it was nice. It was meh. It's a slight elevation of a typical little black dress, so I can give her that. Elliot, I was getting rich, gothy housewife with a off-the-shoulder, very fish, but slightly casual. So that was a bit of a meh for me. Again, it's something as simple as taking a casual outfit and amping it up to make it drag by using different fabric choices. Something as simple as a choice in fabric can elevate an outfit from casual meh to campy drag. And I think that's just something that some of the queens could learn, that with some outfits that make first come off casual can be elevated by a simple change in the material. And that's just from a costuming standpoint. After Elliot, I have Simone in, okay, I was very much expecting someone to have to have had a black fringe dress, like something 20s fringe, it has to be. And finally, we get a fringe dress, the only fringe dress, and it's Simone, and honestly, the dress is cute. It's got openings and whatnot, but the hair is what I love the most. Again, it's the sculptural hair, kind of like what she wore in her promo video and the Meet the Queens. I loved the sculptural hair, but that was basically it for the outfit for me. I liked the hair. The hair was pushing it. The hair was great. And then the little black dress, it was very much like a dance kind of fringe costume. I guess it was made from hair wefts. So it wasn't actual fringe, it was hair that was braided, I think, or just clumped, but it moved like fringe, but I think she said it was hair. So that was fun. So I give her that. And then my favorite, the last one on my list, which is my favorite, is Gottmik, who basically was fully naked. And she wore a tiny cutout of a black dress on her cooch and on her butt. And I loved it. And I was like, this is everything. She's wearing a little black dress, but not in a way. It's literally a little black dress. It is a literal little black dress on her. And I thought that was hilarious. But she ended up only being safe. Which, I mean, with the energy she was giving the performance, but with how killer the runway was, I think the runway saved her from being in the complete bottom. But yeah, so Gottmik, definitely my favorite with how literal she went with a little black dress. I thought it was adorable, and she looked... Gottmik's hot. Gottmik is so hot. I love Gottmik. So, yeah. The safe girls, we have Gottmik, Denali, Rosé, LaLaurie, and Simone. And I guess those are the girls who... I mean, Denali and Rosé killed it in the performance. Denali's outfit was great, so I feel like Denali should have been in the top, because her performance great, and I loved her runway. LaLaurie... Did I? Yeah, LaLaurie had the simple dress. Simone was safe with the fringe, but the sculptural hair. Her performance may not have been that great, but the outfit might have saved her. Rosé, the outfit might have been meh, but her challenge performance saved her. And then we have our tops and bottoms: Tina, Utica, Elliot, Candy, Olivia, and Tamisha, who are our tops and bottoms. So the tops, we're gonna start with Olivia, and the judges basically loved her in the performance. She killed it, and she had her tiny purse with her runway outfit, so she had that nod again. She had her little tiny baby Birkin. What was her outfit? Olivia's was, oh yeah, the girl going to the club. Yeah, they loved her outfit, and I thought it was very pedestrian and not very much elevated drag. But the hair was hella massive, so she basically was still taking inspiration from the disco theme, even into her outfit with the hair. Then we have Elliot, who was in the top. So again, her outfit was a bit too casual for them, but she killed it in the challenge, being a dancer. And then the last top was Tina. And she was, like, living in her performance. They loved what she was wearing and whatnot, and loved the Bob Mackie nod. And then on the runway, they liked her outfit, but her hair could have just been a bit bigger to proportionize the rest of her body and everything. But yeah, so those are the three tops. And then the bottoms are Utica. They think she was camping it up just a bit too much, as if she was kind of making a joke out of everything, especially with previous challenges and runways and whatnot. And then she had to, like, fully explain that she was wearing an outfit that was the same as the earrings she was wearing, and they go into detail about, if we can't see it, we won't understand it. And then after Utica, we have Candy in the bottom. And basically, they said her dance outfit was too plain, the red single shoulder, one sleeve jumpsuit. And then her attitude was giving, like, hood, but that's all she was giving. And then her hood attitude was kind of just getting one dimensional and kind of flatlining. And then the last in the bottom was Tamisha, which they loved her garment in the runway, I think, or the dance challenge. Well, I can't remember, but they liked the garment, but she was slightly off in the challenge, and she looked dead in the face and almost like she wasn't really giving her 100. And Tamisha basically explained earlier that she had, I don't remember what the term was, but I think it was a colostomy bag, or she had a type of bag that she has to keep in like her front while she's, I guess, wearing an outfit or in general. So it was, she was hellbent on not making any excuses, and she basically didn't want to say anything with the risk of them being like, oh, she's not well, send her home, which I can understand. Especially after seeing Eureka busting her knee, not being in the peak physical or in the right health conditions, and then sending her home. So I can understand Tamisha being afraid to say anything and risking losing this opportunity because of her health, which is kind of out of her control given what she's been through. So yeah, Tina, Elliot, and Olivia are the tops, and the bottoms are Utica, Candy, and Tamisha. And at this point, my guess is Olivia's going to win, and the lip sync was going to be Candy and Tamisha. Because I kind of want to see Candy go. Just so we can finally see a girl from Group A get the chop, and that they can understand that this competition is not Group A versus Group B. It is individuals. So get that through your heads. So we get back, and Olivia is the winner. I didn't write down what her prize was. I think it was another cash prize. But yeah, so Olivia's the winner, and the lip-syncing duo is Candy and Tamisha. The song they have to lip-sync is Hit 'Em Up Style, which I loved, because I did that for a cheaters mix that I made for February in 2019. It was 2018. Or maybe 2017? No, 2018. Yeah, I think it was February of 2018. I did a cheaters mix, and I did Hit 'Em Up Style, so I was like living for this song. Through the whole number, Candy basically really passionate and really feeling it and giving it her 100, especially in her face. Like, she was giving you more than just hood at this point, especially in her face. And then Tamisha was giving me like ex-wife classic drag realness, just being that ex-wife being like, oh, you think you were gonna get away with this? Oh no, nuh-uh, not with what my friends have showed me on their photos. So I was feeling it, but Candy was giving me like more energy and whatnot. And in doing so, Candy wins the lip sync, and Tamisha is eliminated. And Candy breaks down. Like, when Candy was basically announced safe, Candy lost it. And then Tamisha, on her exit, was just giving such heartwarming love and such like motherly love to the girls, and especially Candy when she was leaving. Candy was crying, and Tamisha's like, no tears, baby, no tears. I'm gonna see you on the road. We're gonna be good. I'm gonna be good. You gonna stop crying. You'll be fine. And so I love Tamisha. She's such a mom. I love her. And she is a mom. She's literally a mom. But yeah, so Tamisha is now eliminated, which means three girls from the Pork Chop group have now left. Yep, that happened. And the next episode in the preview, we finally have our improv challenge with the Bossy Rossi talk show. If you guys will remember, the Bossy Rossi talk show was a thing back with season 10 with Aquaria, Blair St. Clair, Vanjie. Yeah, so we're bringing the Bossy Rossi talk show, and it's an improv challenge, so I'm hoping Rosé takes it for the B team. I really hope Rosé. Yeah. See, even then, I just said the B team, despite them all being individuals now. Anyways, I want Rosé to take it because Rosé is talented and I really want to see her thrive in an improv challenge. I feel like with the improv challenge, they're gonna hype up the acting queens are gonna kill it, but then one of them may pitfall. I mean, Tina and Rosé were both good in the RuPaul Mark channel challenge, so possibly they might do well again, or the producers may give them a crappy edit and make the whole dialogue one of them feeling really great and then nose diving in the challenge itself. So we shall have to wait and see for the next episode. And that is all from me this week. So I love you all. Thank you for listening. You can find me on all of my social medias at RavenousClaw on Instagram, Facebook, patreon.com/RavenousClaw, and on, what else do I have? Oh, and on Spotify, where you're probably listening to this podcast right now. Yes, this podcast is on Spotify. So thank you all for listening. Love you all. Be fruitful and multiply. All that good stuff. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, whatever time it is where you're at. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, and it is more than appropriate to pour yourself another glass of Riesling. So, goodbye.